Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday morning, June 18th, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. I know it's early in the morning for you people in the Central Time Zone in the United States, but it's call in anyway. Please wake me up. 646-652-4620. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Folks, I subscribe to that free newsletter. It's great. It's the best of the business. I subscribe to many of them. It is absolutely the best. He's clear, concise, takes a macroeconomic point of view. Very, very, very helpful, very informative, and he's a very educated person. The guy's an economist, which is really terrific. Adds a dimension that most people can't give. And I'm going to tell you, what he talks about, I can't even figure out. I mean, I understand, but it's remarkable. This guy's brilliant. Lastly, he also has a subscription newsletter where he actually makes recommendations on what you can do with your portfolio. He's doing very well, folks, even in this poor market. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. Before I get on the main subject this morning, I'd like to discuss one talking point, and that is a conversation that I had with someone. And I want to make a point about this because this program is about educating people on libertarian ideals. And they're very difficult to understand because we have to break through age-long belief systems, and that is very, very, very tough. And not that they are necessarily wrong, but they are skewed, and they are skewed towards a prejudice, and we need to get rid of that. It's very difficult. I have people sometimes writing me and getting angry, saying, how could you take that position? You know, it's un-American and things like that. And it's not. And forget about America. Just think about people being people for a minute. I was asked to be a speaker at one of these tea rallies, you know, tax enough already or whatever it's called. And the organizer wanted to have breakfast with me and two other fellows who he also asked to be speakers. And he gave us copies of the agenda. And he was telling us what his objective was and the whole bit, all of which was very honorable. Looking at the agenda, I asked him, I said, well, I noticed that you are starting the meeting with an opening prayer. He said, yes. I said, well, who's giving the prayer? Well, it was a Christian minister. I said, well, have you considered an Islamic cleric, a Jewish rabbi, or some other religion, you know, giving the opening prayer? And he said, well, if I can find one. Well, that was very, very disingenuous, because you can find them. There are plenty in Tulsa. The Islamic community is pretty large in Tulsa. You can call just about anyone and get an Islamic cleric. They'd love to open up the prayer, the meeting, and at least give some diversity to the meeting. I just know that. So the person wasn't very truthful when he said that. And then his prejudice came out. He started talking about Christianity and about our founding fathers and how they were really Christians and this was a Christian nation. And I said, now, my point being this, I have no quarrel with any religion, Christian religion or otherwise, and I have no problem with an opening prayer. Here is my problem. We are trying to attract as many people as possible. But we place an obstacle in front of us if we start with a Christian prayer and expect the Islamic community to show up. And what we're saying is to them, I mean silently, the underlying message is that this is a Christian meeting. You can show up, shut up, you know, and swallow it. And I said, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overreacting. But it would seem to me that if we wanted to open this meeting up to everyone, because this is really basically a tax rally, you know, some of which I disagree with. It should be a spending rally. We spend too much money. That's why we tax. But that's another story. The problem that we have is that we put obstacles. We in fact tell the Jewish community the same thing. We tell the non-believers the same thing, and the thousand of other religions that here in the United States. And this is when I got up and I walked out of the meeting. He says, well, they can come, and if they don't want to hear the prayer, they can put their fingers in their ears. I said, gentlemen, I have no interest in this rally. I have no interest in speaking nor attending. I will not participate. I'm sorry. At this point, I am wasting your time, and you are wasting my time. Got up, got on my motorcycle, and left. And I was so hot mad, I drove too fast on my motorcycle, which I shouldn't have been doing, on a side road, and screamed down the road on my little G650. My point being is that we need to open our minds. We cannot think of the world, the illusion that we have of the world. And it's all an illusion, folks. Everything we have is an illusion. Believe me, I'm an illusion. Everyone's, I mean, this is, you know, we think what we think and reality have nothing to do with one another. We have to understand that. But if we want to be all inclusive, we should deny no one their religion. You see what I mean? By doing this, we're denying other people their religion. And that is unfair. It is un-American. Our forefathers put nothing in there regarding religion other than there will be no state religion, simply because they didn't want this country divided along religious lines. They wanted everyone to accept everyone else, regardless of religious affiliation. And they didn't want religious genocide going on, you know, in neighborhoods. And they were right. Now, let me say this again. I deny no one their religion. I'm not against religion or anything like that. Don't go there. I'm just saying that we should open our minds to be friends, to be accepting of everyone, regardless of their religion. I cannot tell you how many times I meet people and they're friendly towards me, and then they ask me what church I go to. Well, I don't go to church. My wife on Sunday, on a nice day, we'll get on our bikes and we'll go biking. We basically observe nature. That is our church. Now, I know a lot of people would disagree with that. They think that I'm a heathen, a pagan, or whatever you want to call me, and I'm doomed to the fires of hell, etc. I try not to do harm to anyone. I try to help. I try to give. I really try to be a good person. I don't succeed, but I really attempt to do that. I attempt to be as giving as possible to everyone, my family and friends and associates and everyone that I meet. Because that's all I have to give. And I only have a few more years on this earth, and I want to make the best of it. But what happens is when we say that, they back off. They become less friendly and cold. And you can tell they're shutting you out. That's what I was afraid of. And when he had the opening prayer, that's what I thought of. Now, I may be wrong. Still, Islamic people may come, Muslims may come, and all the other religions may come. And I'm sure there's some that would, and that they would dismiss basically the opening prayer or participate and say, well, it's a generalized prayer. But that was not my point. My point is that we need to open our minds, and we have to stop putting everything in a box and say, if you don't fit in this box, you're not good enough for me. And the two friends that were there that are going to be speakers called me very upset. And I had a long conversation with them. Anyway, enough is enough about that. And I am still upset about that, and that happened over a week ago. Anyway, I just want to relay that to you, because this program, if anything, should be a program where we air fundamentals that we should understand as the basis for liberty for all. Liberty for all. And without understanding the fundamentals. In other words, the devil is in the details. And we have to get to the details. All right. And this is what I'm getting at. Okay. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano, your heathen, your pagan, or whatever you want to call me, on Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host. Please call in 646-652-4620. Now, I may not be the best person in the world, but I am far from the worst person in the world. And I'm perceived as being the worst person in the world when I don't go to their church, their particular version of Christianity, especially here in the great state of Oklahoma. Okay, enough said about that. Cash for Clunker program. Folks, I have so many problems with that program, I barely know where to start. I fall over my words, and my mind jumbles. I called a couple of friends of mine who are progressives. They're socialists, fascists, whatever, and they don't say that. They would deny that, and they would be highly insulted. And I just asked them what they thought about the Cash for Clunker program. Thought it was a great program. They said, finally, we're doing something to stimulate the economy. That's really something tangible, and they're glad to see it. Didn't argue with them, said, good, I just wanted to, you know, your opinion on it. You know, hope it works. Thank you, goodbye. Don't argue with people with that. I mean, you can't argue that. First of all, I have a problem with the title of the program, Cash for Clunker. Now, they automatically assume the government, and they do this all the time, and they do it masterfully, folks. I mean, just like Joe Goebbels did with Hitler. The guy was a master marketer. He knew how to market the Nazism. He knew how to market it, you know, with the colors red and black and the swastika and the strength and the whole bit. He was a master marketer. And we have here master marketers. And these master marketers are backed by the banking institution of the world. And that's who runs the United States. Don't kid yourself. And these guys are good. First of all, Cash for Clunker program. Cash for Clunker. Look at Clunker. Now, what image do you get in your mind when they say Clunker? You think of, I'll tell you what mine is. I don't know what yours is. Mine is this. You get this car. It's belching black smoke. It's making all sorts of noise. The tires are bald. You know, there's patches all over it. The body is rusted. The interior is just destroyed by a dog or something like that. A dog maybe even, you know, relieved himself in the place. I mean, it's horrible, filled with garbage. Windshield is cracked, and it just about gagoon, you know, backfires. That's what I think about Clunker. Okay, they are talking about all cars after 1985. We're not talking about cars that are ancient history. We're talking about cars that may be just 10 years old. My wife's Subaru is 10 years old. We do not take care of it. I mean, you know, it's a workhorse. I mean, we take care of it, but, you know, we don't polish it. We never polished it since the day we received it. From a distance, that car looks almost showroom new. No one would look at that car and say, boy, that's a clunker. In fact, it's a Subaru Outback Impreza, and its design is as modern today as it was. You'd think it was a brand new car. In fact, if you didn't know cars, you wouldn't know if it's a 2009 or a 1996. It is now 13 years old. It works perfectly, belches no black smoke, gets 28 miles to the gallon. It is a phenomenal car. It's far from a clunker. So the first thing the government does is it brands, you know, in our minds, and it visualizes that every car that's going to be traded in is going to be these clunkers belching smoke, you know, with the crack windshield and backfiring, and boy, we got to get these suckers off the road. And that could not be further from the truth. Most of these cars, I'm sure, most of them are going to be cars in perfect running condition. They are going to be far from clunkers, folks. They may have a lot of mileage on them. They may have a little bit of wear on them, but they will not be clunkers. I haven't seen a clunker on the road in years. Every once in a while, you'll see one. You know, you're driving along, and you see black smoke coming out, and you go, Jesus, where did this guy come from? You know, why does he get rid of that damn thing? But that happens once every few months. I see a lot of old cars on the road. A guy who worked for me, Roger, has an old Toyota, takes very good care of it. I don't know how old it is, but it's an old car. I mean, it's the oldest style Toyota. It's in beautiful, he keeps it in beautiful shape. It gets excellent gas mileage, doesn't belch smoke, doesn't burn oil, from what he tells me. It looks good, the interior looks new, and it's got to be over 10 years old. It's far from a clunker. Included in this program are pickup trucks. Now, pickup trucks, by their very design, get less gas mileage than a car, with everything being equal, because they're geared lower. I remember many years ago when I bought, this is, oh, I'm going back, oh, 30-some-odd years. Oh, maybe... Yeah, 30-some-odd years. I bought myself a Chevy Blazer, six-cylinder. But I wanted something with a high gear ratio, rear end, so I'd get good mileage. They wouldn't do it. And I got something with, I remember, a 411 rear, and the thing got horrible mileage because they just came out with this pollution control stuff, and it just took a six-cylinder gas mileage from 20-something miles to the gallon and brought it back. My best was 13. Wasn't a clunker, but I got 13 miles to the gallon. Sold the car. Shortly after that, sold the car. I couldn't take the gas mileage. It was horrible, you know. But my point being is that they gear them low because they're trucks. Not because they're clunkers. Not because they get bad fuel economy. It's because trucks are intended to haul stuff. Half-ton trucks can haul up to half-ton. Three-quarters, etc. I have trucks for work, for my business, you know. I always buy diesels because diesels have a lot of torque. And they gear them better because of the torque that they have, and they get better, much better gas mileage. I mean, 30, 40% better gas mileage than a gasoline car truck. And, you know, we take long distances to go all over the place, all over the region. Anyway, so we have light trucks are being included in this package so far. Now, it hasn't been approved. I realize that. And these cars, by their very design, when they roll out of the showroom floor, when they're brand new, and they're ridden very modestly on the highway, get relatively poor gas mileage because they're geared low, because they're supposed to tow and haul stuff and whatever, and they're meant to be that way. And the EPA forces the auto companies to make them that way, even if the customer objects to it and is not going to haul anything. Sorry, you can't do that. So the government tells me what gear ratio I'm putting in my truck. Love that. Let me tell you, I really love that. Now, all of these cars, most of them are going to be in great shape. They're not going to be clunkers. Number one objection, all right? So they're putting in the mind that, good, we're going to get all these old, crappy cars on the road. Now, there are also relatively economical cars. There are cars, for example. Oh, the way the program works is that the car that you buy, or the proposed legislation, and this could be slightly wrong because there's so many versions of this thing. But the last version I heard was like if the car had to be 1985 or newer, you have to have owned it for 1 year. So you just can't go to a used car lot and buy an old car for $50, you know, or a junkyard and then roll it in, which I'm sure is going to happen anyway. But and the car that you are buying has to get at least 10 miles on a gallon on average more than the car that you had. Well, I have a problem. Well, and they take that by the average sticker price between the city and highway mileage. So let's say the city is 20 and the highway was 26. It's like 23 or whatever. However they do it. So it's not on what you say. It's what the manufacturers say the car gets. Now, here's my problem. You can have a car that's economical. You can have a Toyota Camry that gets 25 miles to the gallon. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish with the requirements of the program. If the car gets, I think, 5 miles more per gallon, you get $2,500. If the car gets 7 miles on a gallon more, you get $3,500. 10 miles on a gallon more, $4,500. And please, someone call me if I'm wrong, because that may be slightly off, but that's about right. So you may have a Toyota Camry getting good gas mileage, but you buy another one that gets maybe average of 30 miles to the gallon. So this perfectly good Toyota Camry, expensive car, I mean, well-made, well-taken care of, is now classified as a clunker. You know, these bums in Washington, these absolute bums in Washington that do this, I tell you, they should rot in hell. I mean, if there's a hell, they should be in the sub-basement of hell where it's really hot, you know, these bums. Just because you're getting 5 miles more to the gallon, you know, someone gets my $2,500 because they don't have the money because the government's broke. They got to get the money from somewhere. All they can do is steal it from us or inflate our current money, which they steal it either way and give it to somebody else. So number one, the way they address the program is wrong. Number two, what they're doing is totally unconstitutional. Three, the president has absolutely no right whatsoever to initiate this program. Four, Congress has no right to legislate this. Absolutely none. This is redistribution of wealth, plain and simple. Everyone thinks it's a great program. So here we go, and people are getting these checks. It's going to cost, they say, $1 billion. Whatever it's going to cost, it's going to cost a fortune. Now, what does this do? Right. So people buy a car that's perfectly good. Now, the government takes the car over. It doesn't go on the lot to be resold. The government takes that perfectly good car, and most of these are going to be perfectly good cars, and they destroy it. Just think about it. They take a perfectly good running asset in the United States, a perfectly good American asset, and they put it through the shredder. Now, that's not right. It doesn't make any sense. There's going to be unintended consequences for that. You're taking perfectly good used cars off the road and shredding them. That means you're going to increase the price of all used cars. It doesn't make any sense. In other words, everyone's going to pay through their taxes. They're going to pay if they want to buy a used car. So they're forced to buy a new car, most of which people can't afford today anyway because they don't have jobs. Oh, they have jobs that don't pay that much, and inflation is coming, and they know it, and they're afraid they can't do anything. So here we have a program that's misnamed, cars being taken off the road, unconstitutional, money being redistributed, you know, to people unconstitutionally, and then an asset's taken off the road that's perfectly good, and they're shredding it. Now, what's good about that is beyond me. What really we should be concerned about is that people may buy new cars. Now, my wife just happened to be in the market for a new car. We don't qualify. Don't qualify at all. Although our car is a 1996 Subaru. I love the car, folks. Subaru makes a phenomenal car, but their gas mileage is not that good these days. They got bigger engines with blowers on them and, you know, all this other stuff. And the mileage actually has gone down substantially. I would be buying a Subaru, but their mileage really is poor, you know, compared to the other mileage. So we're not looking at Subaru. My wife wants something that gets really good gas mileage. She's looking at the Honda Insight, which is a second generation hybrid. I'm not a fan of hybrids at all, but my wife wants it. That's fine with me. And they're relatively expensive, $2,200, $2,100, fully equipped, a Honda hybrid. I mean, you can't beat that with a stick. If it's not that, it's going to be a Mazda 3. Two phenomenal cars. Anyway, we'll get off the subject. So then, what do you think is going to happen? Well, all we're doing is people who would not were going to buy a car next year, they may buy it this year. Now, that's not going to take us out of recession. That's just going to prolong the recession. And also, not excluded from this, were cars being built overseas. I think a Mazda's built overseas. Mazda is one of the better-selling cars in America today because it has the best consumer satisfaction rating. And I see Mazdas all over the place. So a good portion of this money that's being given, the $2,500, is going to be for taking cars off the road that were made in America and for people to buy cars overseas. Now, all this to keep the automotive companies alive for a little longer. I think this program is flawed. I think it's one of the worst programs we've ever had. And what's horrible is that we're selling it as a good program, good for America, good for American jobs. Well, you cannot create jobs. You have to create demand. You have to have innovation, initiative, and productivity. That's this station's mantra: innovation, initiative, and productivity. Without those three, you don't have an economy. And what the government is doing, it's killing innovation, it's killing initiative, and it's absolutely killing productivity. We are going to have a car company, the people call it the Congressional Car Company, the government car company, that's going to be highly inefficient because it's going to they're going to have to wait for Washington on every decision. Now, Barack Obama is about the biggest liar that's ever been perpetrated, been president of the United States. I thought George Bush was bad. This guy makes him look like a wimp when it comes to lies. Everything he says, he goes back on. We are not going to run the car companies. And you want something, folks? They've been running the car companies for years. And now they're going to be in with both feet. I mean, that's a bold-faced lie. And that really, really bothers me. Okay. That's the end of this morning's talking points on that subject. I'd love to hear from you. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Please write your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right, and I'll see you Sunday night live once again at 8 o'clock. And by the way, I may be changing the time to 7 o'clock on Sunday. I'm giving this serious consideration. Okay? Write to me. Tell me what you think. Thank you. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.